This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome Ng Kwang Hong, CFO of Revenue Group, which is a cashless payment solutions provider set to list on the ACE market on July 18th. Good morning, KH, and welcome to the program.
Thanks for the invitation.
Now, there is this push for Malaysia to become less reliant on cash. This campaign, spearheaded by Bank Negara, how does Revenue Group fit into this broader national agenda?
With this Bank Negara initiative, I would say it's a very good initiative. How do we actually fit in and how do we actually can help out? There are actually two ways to it. On the supply side, we are not the only ones who's like in the market to do this. So all the competitors, or I would say it's like our core competitors who is in the payment landscapes, everyone has a role to play. When I say role to play is that they will need to like facilitate the venues. When we say venues, where does the consumers can spend their monies using the cards, the payment cards? So these parts is all our peers, our core competitors, they will be the ones who need to drive that. Second part is that we also need the public, the consumers, to step in to embrace the so-called the payments cards mechanisms. It's, let's say, if everyone is still using cash, there's no way we can drive this and achieve what Bank Negara wanted to achieve.
Right.
But looking at the tractions right now and looking at the Bank Negara statistics, we have actually come a long way. And it's still showing some very interesting and a very healthy growth rates. So I would say is that everyone has a part to play. So for us, we are more just like to facilitate some venues for consumers to use the payment cards.
Right. And when it comes to these cashless payment solutions, very often analysts and observers point to double digit on your growth, right, every year. But do you think we're at risk of overestimating the potential here? Because when you look at the trends, not just here in Malaysia, but across Asia as well, almost 90% of Asians still use cash. 6 out of 10, more than half, still say that they prefer cash as their main mode of payment. I mean, short of just leaving it to Bank Negara to drive the agenda, what can industry players like Revenue Group do to make sure that there's a faster pickup of cashless payment solutions?
Okay. I guess this part for, as an industry player, what we can do is that we will need to go to the ground to actually educate the merchants and also to recruit them to accept payment cards. Of course, the Bank Negara directive is why we have all this like towards cashless societies is that they want to lower down the price. What happens is that for the price, so-called the cost to the merchants will be lowered down. So there's a transparency and also it becomes more competitive to them. But of course, when you compare to our neighbors' countries, they probably a few of them have already quite advanced from us, and the governments, they themselves is also pushing it. But for us, we are quite optimistic in terms of like the technology's growth will actually go in tandems with our cashless acceptance.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up the cost of the merchants, because in March of this year, there was pushback against Bank Negara's announcement that merchants cannot pass on the MDR, that's the merchant discount rate, to customers. Right. So now, if I'm a retailer, I want to protect my margins, I'm going to gravitate towards cash, right? Because I'm not allowed to pass on the MDR to my customers. Right. Does that put downward pressure on the take-up rate for cashless payment solutions?
Okay. For these questions, like for the cash, of course, the merchants, for merchants themselves, they can actually don't accept payment cards. So what they need to do is that on a daily basis, I need to count how much cash I collected. And then on the next day, I need to go to the bank to deposit it. While all these things, maybe it's like the entrepreneurs or whoever's the owners of that company, they can do it themselves. But don't forget, all these things, there's a time cost. From them calculating, probably it will take about half an hour. From from the shops travels to the banks, maybe take another half an hour to queue up, to deposit, maybe take 5 minutes. But with this cashless, what happens is that they can actually, everything just like swipe. At the end of the day, they just like do a settlement and everything will be remitted to them according to the SLA, maybe the next day, the day after next. So for them, it's convenient. And secondly, it's like, I don't need to worry about reconciling. Everything is on the internet.
Yeah. All right, and let's get into some business-specific questions here. Now, Revenue Group has got three main segments. Let me list through them real quick. One, you've got the hardware side or electronic data capture terminals, EDC. There's also, secondly, transaction processing. And then third, solutions and services. Now, your competitors seem to offer the same array of products and services as well. Now, I'm looking at, say, GHL Systems, IP88, MOL Pay. So what's your unique selling proposition here? How is Revenue Group different from the other guys?
Okay, I can't speak for others. I can only speak for my group. What happens is that our propositions and our business strategies has always been to complement and work together with the banks. So if you look at our prospectus or look at our business overview, what happens is that we have close to 6 card schemes. What we mean by card schemes is that you have like My Debit, Union Pay, Diners, JCB, Nets, and Company A. All these things is like we are direct members to them. What we mean is that we can go to the merchants and we can directly recruit them. For some of the banks, they might not have this kind of card schemes. Not to say they can't. It's just that it might take time and might take resources. So by working with us, we actually complement whatever businesses that they don't have right now and then immediately can roll it out to their customers.
But the other guys are promising the same things to the banks as well, right? And on top of that, if I look at, say, GHL Systems, for example, they already have a network of about 250,000 merchants. According to your prospectus, you are only at about 9,000 merchants, right? So they've got scale. And on top of that, they're promising the exact same services to your client base, the banks, merchants, etc. So what's going to set you apart? What's your strategy? How do you find your edge in this tremendously competitive market?
Like I mentioned earlier, we work with the banks and we complement them. Of course, like if there is a growth in the banks that we work with, and then they will definitely like referrals or we can work with them in terms of the merchants. Of course, I can't really comment on how the numbers our co-competitors actually derive from. But for us, we view all our merchants as a unique individuals. Probably it's like we have one merchant, maybe they have 300 outlets, a cheap retail chain. We don't treat them as 300. We treat them as one. So that's the reasons why probably you see it's like our merchant base is just about 9,000, which is relative. But we do have some very strong retail merchants, chain merchants, and we are able to secure some of the top-notch brands in the town. So we always believe that it's like, well, how we go to the market is we complement with the banks. Whatever they have, we don't fight them or we don't go against them. We work together with them. So we comes up with a win-win situation for both.
Well, we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how you plan to spend your IPO proceeds. I'm speaking to Ng Kwan Hong, CFO of Revenue Group, which is set to list on the ACE market on July 18th. This is The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Ng Kwan Hong, CFO of Revenue Group, which is set to list on the ACE market on July 18th. Revenue Group being a cashless payment solutions provider. You plan to raise about 21 million ringgit from your IPO. About 40% of that 21 million, or about 8 million ringgit or so, is to be spent on buying 9,000 units of these electronic data capture terminals, EDC terminals, right?
Yep.
So why is Revenue Group still banking on hardware when so many other players like the SaaS guys, the software as a service guys, they're moving past hardware and focusing on, say, in-app payments, for example? So why are you still so focused on hardware?
Okay, to distinguish, for what happens is that for the hardware, the EDCs that we are going to buy is that it can actually accept QR payment. So while we still go into our traditionals like the credit card machines, all these things, the cards insert, key in the pins, but this is like we are talking about the next generations of EDC terminals. So because now you know that markets is that QR payments is coming in, so we need to move and upgrade the technologies which we can actually cater for that. For terminals, for the hardware, definitely it's like for Malaysians, well, of course, now we are seeing a lot of e-wallets players coming in, a lot of people is going to mobile. But don't forget, Malaysia itself, there is still like we are quite a tourist destination. And while all these terminals still require for inbound tourists, like for example, I mentioned the card schemes that we have, like GCB is from Japan, Nets is from Singapore, Diners is literally is worldwide. So with all this, and UnionPay is China. Not everyone's, when it comes to Malaysians, they have the mobile apps which they can use it to make their purchases. Of course, they can still change into Malaysia local currencies, but there's only so much that they can change. But what happens is when they inbound, and then you still need the terminals to facilitate this kind of payments for them. Otherwise, they have the cards, but they cannot spend it here. So it defeats the purpose of like being primes like a tourist destinations. Right.
And even in your perspectives, you mentioned tourists from China, from Japan, from Singapore. So would it be fair for shareholders to view Revenue Group as a proxy to the tourism industry?
I wouldn't say we, of course, like in terms of a cashless solution providers, we need to rise on consumer spendings. So consumer spendings come from two parts. One is local. The other one is foreigners who inbound here.
But you're buying 9,000 terminals that have QR payment, and let's face it, QR code take-up rate in Malaysia is low.
Yes, but Bank Negara in their recent announcements that we are going to have an interoperable credit transfers frameworks. So this is to drive and consolidate the QR. So what happens is that the Bank Negara has noted that this might be the next wave coming.
But will we see Revenue Group move away from its hardware business and perhaps focus on the transaction processing side of things? Because look, you know, in 2017, the sales of your EDC terminals fell by 56% on year. Now, granted, rentals picked up by double digits, but not enough to offset the drop in the sales of your EDC terminals. On top of that, half of your revenue comes from the sales and rentals of EDC, right? 2017. So could we see that share of your revenue decline moving forward and Revenue Group becoming more reliant on transaction processing?
Of course, for the end games, moving forwards, we actually is like we were actually wanted to grow our transaction business. Because what happened is that historically, we have laid the foundations. So right now, it's just like the foundation is there, so when the consumer spending picks up, our transaction revenues will grow. But of course, in terms of the terminals, we cannot neglect that is mainly is because in order to grow the transactions business, we need to create the venues for people to use their cards. So while we would like to move into, okay, like says like the mobile payments, all these things, this is one of the areas that we can tap on, which we actually have the capabilities to do so. But we cannot really totally ignore the terminals business there.
All right, now in your perspectives, and you mentioned this name earlier in this chat, your biggest customer is called Company A. Now, in the prospectus, Company A is described as China's leading mobile and online payment solution company, yet you are not able to name that company. Why is that?
We do have agreements, a clause stated in the agreements that for any public announcements or for information flowing into the public domain, we need to seek the consent. And in this case, Company doesn't want us to leverage on their name. So unfortunately, of course, if we can disclose, it will actually do a very good marketing for us. But we are where we are, and we honor our contract terms. And that's the reasons why we are not allowed to name them.
So again, Company A is based in China. They are the leading mobile and online payment solution company over there. They deal with QR payments. It's got to be Alipay, right?
Well, I did not mention. Definitely to them in our prospectus, they are Company A. I did not mention anyone. but they are definitely...
So am I wrong to assume that it's Alipay?
Well, I wouldn't say it's right or wrong. But since you already done the research and you know in China, there is only a couple of them is in that industry, right. So you will know.
So I'm just going to use Alipay then for the rest of this chat then. Okay, look, but then you are not unique in that regard then, because Alipay is working with everyone, including GHL, Touch and Go as well. So how unique is Revenue Group in terms of making that push for QR payments here in Malaysia? And I'm keeping in mind, they are your biggest customer right now, but how much more upside is there?
Okay, for Company A, what happens is that... there is two business model with them. One is that we are doing the online. The other one is we call it is the card schemes, where they accept their QR payments in Malaysia. So while both sides is there is no conflicts. One is online. The other one is so-called, we call it the terminal. So what happened is that since 2013, we are the partners with Company A to actually facilitate the processing of payments, outbound payments through internet.
For this is Tmall and Taobao that we're talking about here? Okay, yes.
Again, I did not mention it.
Moving on. Yes.
All right. Of course, on the QR payment side, they are so-called, I would say they are the first ones to get into Malaysia. And through their involvements in Malaysia, we're really seeing that there is a lot of like people just getting use of the QR. Mm. And while, of course, the QRs is right now is only limited to China people's coming in. That's where there's inbound transactions. But because of their involvements in Malaysia right now, we're also seeing a lot of banks going into QR. And if you're asking about whether there's any tractions, there's any upsides, we are seeing that more and more people is like having handphones, which is smartphones. And now more and more people is like, it's open to using this kind of payment methods. So with the bank, the Gyros Directive, with our partners' banks also going into the direction, we believe we're in the right traction.
But that assumes that they don't gravitate towards Samsung Pay or some of the other in-app payment systems or even e-wallet. And speaking of, you are coming up with your own e-wallet solutions set to be launched by the fourth quarter of this year. But again, given that multiple players in Malaysia already launched their e-wallet solutions, aren't you late to the game? Fourth quarter of 2018?
Okay, for e-wallets, probably we just need to go a bit more technical. What happens is that for e-wallets, they are issuers. I think the last count is about 30 over e-wallets issuers in Malaysia granted a license. But for the e-wallets issuers to actually like have the tractions, why people want to use them, you need to have the merchants base, which we have about 9,000 now. So it's easy for them to actually work with us and then to accept their e-wallets in our merchants. So what we are trying to do is that we will want to do a so-called solutions for all of them. So everyone's is like, okay, now I have e-wallets 1 to 30. Everything will go inside there. And not only for e-wallets issuers, because we also working with our card schemes. So it's basically it's like... you don't need to bring your wallet. Right. You don't even need to bring your cash. So, everything will be in this.
Right. Multiple channels then. QR payments, yes. Cards, e-wallets, etc.
Yes, you are right.
Okay, got it. Now let's, with the little time that we have left, let's talk about your expansion plans. Look, you have earmarked 1.5 million ringgit for expansion into Cambodia and Myanmar. What kind of growth potential do those two countries hold versus, you know, your growth here in Malaysia?
Well, our business, we still very much focus in Malaysia. This is where is our bread and butter.
Well, specifically tourists coming to Malaysia.
Yeah. And also, don't forget, Malaysians, we still, day in, day out, we still need to spend. We still need to buy some things like grocery, all these things. That's where they will still, Malaysia is still ultimately our main market. But for Cambodia and Myanmar, we see there's similarities from their growth space coming from our own experience. Malaysians have moved a long way from cash to the cashless status that we have today, although we still have a lot of rooms to grow. But Myanmar and Cambodia's, historically, they are still a very large cash-based societies. So we see a similarity there, and then we see that we can actually offer our solutions, our technologies to the banks or to the partners there. So that's where we are going there. Our involvements with some of the international brands, card schemes, actually put us in a better footing, is that some of the card schemes are actually going in there. And that's where we have proven ourselves in Malaysia. And I believe our technologies and our experience will also help us to stand out to help them to penetrate their countries. Of course, if you're talking about some of the big brands really go in terms of the infrastructures, well, it works in both ways. One is that we can, although 1.5 million might not sound a lot, but don't forget we are IT companies and our systems, we can scale it up. And it's not necessary that we need to bring our whole IT companies into there. Okay. We can always work behind the doors. We can work from Malaysia.
All right.
But of course, with all this payment security, all these things, definitely we need to work with the partners' banks there.
Right. But are you going in on your own merits or are you perhaps riding the tailcoats of Alipay? Because Alipay just last year made headlines about them going into those same markets, Cambodia and Myanmar.
Well, there is no currently. There's no firm strategies. Of course, we will wait, depending on the market landscapes, and of course, we will devise better strategies and how we want to tap in. Probably down the road, within 24 months, there is a change in terms of another big brands go in. That's where we can actually tag along, and then we can offer our services to them.
So, if you don't have a firm strategy right yet, shareholders or potential shareholders listening right now, can they price in their potential from the Cambodia and Myanmar market or not yet? Too soon?
I would say they can. The reason is because we have done our research. It's just that currently I can't really spell out in details what are the strategies that we're going to pursue. Of course, there's always a strategy A, strategy B. Of course, we also have our own contingency plans, how we're going to do that. Mm. Right now, it's just so unfortunate that I can't really share in which road that we are going to use. But of course, we need 24 months, definitely we will see us there.
Well, certainly wish you all the best on your Gong Day on July 18th, set to list on the ACE market. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us here on The Breakfast Grill. That was Ng Kwan Hong, CFO of Revenue Group. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U Mobile. Your passion drives our unlimited ideas.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.